This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Our special teaming it up all during the week.
Patrick Manily.
My all-time favorite Bear would have to be Patrick Manily.
Bears long snapper for 16 seasons.
Pat Manily, the long snapper, Maynard, put it in position, and Robbie Gold sends the Bears to the NFC Championship game.
The longest tenured player in Chicago Bears history.
One of the things I immediately missed the most was eating lunch in Dean Pope's office. Olin Kruch, Roberto Garza, Patrick Manley. We never talk football. We talk trash.
Craft Beer Mogul.
Are you drinking the Kool-Aid?
I'm drinking a long snapper IPA.
That's after the game. Patrick Manley.
How about a long snapper being a part of the game with the old head bob?
Oh, boy, that was ridiculous.
They tried the old, you know, head bob.
Lucy saw that one and tried to say something. Olin, very deflating to lose that way, right?
Well, yeah, just deflating that Manly mentioned the long snapper.
I know.
All that whole day.
I know.
I got to hear about a long snapper.
I know.
After everything I watched it, you know?
That sums it up, right?
Patrick Manley with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
It brightened our day, the fact that we could actually have some long snapper conversation with the NFL's greatest long snapper.
I got a guy for that. We got a guy we can talk about it with, among everything else.
That's Patrick Manley, who's one of our Bears analysts here on The Score.
Oh, I thought Trey Junkin was on the line. You said the greatest long snapper.
Wow.
19 years.
It's a pretty good run.
I was a little short.
Just a little bit. But
you were better. Yeah. You were better.
But it's all good. So, Patrick, welcome to the party, pal.
I know. It's good
you.
To be here.
Yes, yes. Thank you
well,
so
much. Well,
hold
on. But I missed working with you, Spiegs, on Monday. I mean, who's this guy Lawrence Holmes coming here and taking my Monday job?
That's a really good question.
I mean, I had two weeks in a row. That's like an Iron Man streak.
I believe you were offered the Monday initially, Patrick, back when we didn't know what was happening. But now we do.
That's right.
But yeah, yes. No, please welcome the new guy who you're just getting to know, Lawrence Holmes.
Yeah, it's good to hear your voice here on the middays.
It's afternoons, actually.
It's fine.
Whatever it is.
Whatever it is.
Where are you?
Yeah. Pat's got a time zone issue. We've done that the last few weeks. He doesn't know what time it is anywhere.
That's all right.
It's a golf course somewhere. That's all I know.
I'm on Central Time right now.
It's
I don't
all
want you like to know this. I'm up in Tuscaloosa right now getting ready for first off, I evacuated the hurricane. I'm up in Tuscaloosa getting ready for the Georgia-Alabama game.
Yes, that is the big game this weekend between Georgia and Bama under Kalen DeBoer.
They're a home dog, right? For the first time in a long time.
Let's break that game down.
It makes a lot of sense because, you know, Georgia, what Kirby Smart has built there in Athens is what Alabama used to be. But
yes,
I'll tell you this much. I will tell you this, and you can enjoy this, Patrick. Jalen Milroe's grandfather is a P1 listener here to The Score. And he's reached out to me multiple times. He's a very good man. He's listening all the time.
That's awesome.
And the Milroe family has deep roots in Chicago. So,
wow, that's cool.
Yeah, so anyone who wants to jump on the Alabama bandwagon, there's a reason to do it. Because the family has strong roots here on the south side of the city.
Well, my money's going there now, so I had to jump on the bandwagon. So that's cool to hear.
Roll damn tide. Okay, let's
get into football.
Let's talk about what you saw. I just want to start kind of generally with that. What did you take out of the Colts game?
Kind of figuring out the Bears might not be that good. You kind of look back at it and you think about week one, if Will Levis doesn't throw that ball Tyreek Stevenson, we're sitting here probably at 0-3, right? And you don't block a punt either. So what I mean by good overall is that the entire team, I mean, it was ugly watching that all 22 and going back and watching that tape last week of the offense. We all saw it in person. But this going back and seeing how poorly the offensive line played, I kind of joked with Olin of how long that meeting had to be on Monday morning, because there were times guys were getting blown up by linebackers, not moving anybody on a double team. And I heard Eberflus talking about prior that he likes how he, you know, was in the run game. There were a few times they couldn't move anybody an inch. And if you're in a double team, you're supposed to be able to do that. And then they couldn't get off the linebackers. They were getting outrun by those guys. After watching that all 22, I'm not comfortable with this team right now.
Man, so in terms of the physicality, because yeah. it sure has felt, man, like they think that they can be super cute on offense, and they think that they can scare people with their weaponry and then run on them with surprise. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like they're yep. not. So is that what you see, a team that can't physically outperform?
No, they can't. And that's what it's got to hurt in that O-line room, because that's what they've been doing the last couple of years, right, with Chris Morgan. They've been moving people off the ball, and they've been physical, and that's been part of the game. And right now it's not working. I just don't think that five up front work together very well. They don't mesh well in double teams. They're not coming off at the right time to get up the linebackers. They're taking bad angles. They're getting put on their back, like I said, by linebackers. And it's got to be a bad time to be in that O-line room. And I talked to a coach, you know, that he put it a different way. You know, you hear Olin and people talk about coaches call plays and they're not for players. And they're saying, the person that I talked to about this said they need to start calling players, not plays. Start designing plays for the players. You know, this scheme's just not working for this talent here. It's time to really find out who the talented guys are and scheme those guys to get the ball to in the right positions.
Why is Tevin Jenkins not next to Darnell Wright at this point?
That's a big question. I think you're trying to think of spreading those big bodies across the line and trying to help lean on a double team with the center with him and Braxton Jones with him. And then you got Darnell Wright, who's huge, can lean on with Nate Davis or now Matt Pryor. I don't know. I prefer to have one side that's just a badass side, right? That you know you can run behind. Like in the fourth down situation, third down situation, and goal line.
Yep.
You line up and say, we're running power behind these guys. We're pulling the guard. You can't stop us. That's something I think they're missing.
You mentioned, sorry, Pat, but you mentioned the offensive line room. I mean, Shane Waldron was forced to retain Chris Morgan.
Yeah.
So, it was what it was last year. They were shoving people around last year. So how do we not point at Shane Waldron, like, utilizing the talent that he has incorrectly? That feels like where you end up.
It could be, because just the plays you're seeing run up front just don't make sense for some of the players up front. Does that make sense?
Like, yes.
They don't mesh for him. They tried about four or five different runs last week, and he wouldn't go back to the same run that they would maybe rip a 6 or 7 yard run off. It just seems scattered. Like, he's just throwing it out there. Like, let's try this run now. Oh, we haven't run this one. All right, let's give it to DJ Moore around the left end. That didn't work either. It just doesn't seem like there's a run plan. So I do wonder how that dynamic works between Chris Morgan and Shane Waldron, you know, knowing that he wasn't retained, that's not his guy, you know, I mean, that he was retained, knowing that that's not his guy.
Patrick, we feel very similarly, and I always default to people who played the game when it comes to my analysis on the game. When I was watching the All-22, and Speaks and I talked about this a little earlier in the show, I feel like the quarterback's ready for more, but they can't do more because they can't block it.
Yeah, I heard you guys earlier, and I 100% agree with that. So when I gave kind of the negative review of the team, that's not reflective on my feelings of Caleb. I think he is doing a nice job. Everybody's going to compare to Jaden Daniels and all that stuff, Daniels and Washington and all that stuff. But I think what they're doing with him is throwing everything at him and saying, hey, can you handle it all? It looks like he can. Some quarterbacks I've played with that were young, you had to trickle it into them, right? And the offensive game plan was very simple. But like you said, Lawrence, I think this game plan doesn't fit him because the guys in front of him can't do what they're being should be asked to do.
So what do you do then if you're Shane Waldron and you're saying, okay, we've done 3 weeks of concepts that we can't quite block? How simplified do you go and say, screw it, we're good in short yardage situations, we're triple tight, and we're gonna do that every time, and we're gonna say, let's just put the biggest bodies we can find out there when we need 2 yards or a yard?
Well, let's go back. If Shane Waldron and Chris Morgan aren't on the same page, and maybe there is a little, you know, difference between the two of them, and if Shane's getting the vote, right, because he is the offensive coordinator, I would go to Chris Morgan and say, what do you want to do? What has worked in the past with the guys here? They're new to me. What would you like to do? Show me what you've done in the past with this talent, and let's put that in and figure that out. That's what I would do if I'm the OC, because what he's doing right now is not working. Maybe they are communicating, but to me, it doesn't look like it. So that's what I would do, is to find out, Chris, what do you want to do? And, yeah, I'd put more power in. I'd put more double teams in. Like I said, they still can't move guys off the ball with their double teams, and it's not pretty. So, you know, the one-on-one blocks aren't working. The outside zone's not working. They're not getting out there as well. So, to me, it's just run more power football, get more double teams in there, and see what you can do that with that.
The humility that it takes.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Takes for Shane Waldron to sit down and say to Chris Morgan, What would you do? What worked last year? Mm-hmm. Let's do some of that. Because I think you're absolutely right on what the dynamic should be, but not everybody who's in a position of leadership has that humility, those communication skills, and we can all think about our bosses of sales staffs who don't get it, bosses, divisions of radio stations that don't get it. You know what I mean? it's this ability to sit down and say, come on, guys, best idea wins. I'm still the boss at the end of the day. The comfort of knowing that. And you've dealt with those rooms. You've been in and out of offensive line rooms before Mike Tice kicked you out, that bastard. Yes. I mean, but seriously.
Hey, hold on. I got it. I got him on the old head, Bob, when he was the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. We'll take that.
As the long snapper?
I did.
Oh, that's hot. That's awesome.
Fourth and two. We went for a field goal, got him a head bob, got the first down. We went down, scored the touchdown, ended up winning the game in the fourth quarter.
Oh, hell yeah.
There you go.
Mike Tice was laughing about it. Freaking chumly laughing MF-er, that guy.
But Spiegs, you're 100% right. But here's the deal. Shane Waldron's doing – the offense is not doing a great job right now, right? So his boss is leaning on him. Matt Eberflus, you know, he's talked about we're having this communication, we're trying to figure it out. Well, if they're having honest communication, he's saying, you're not doing it well enough. Figure this out. So, you know, I think if I'm Shane Waldron, I'm like, well, how do I figure it out? I go to a guy who knows the run game better than I do, Chris Morgan. Let's lean on him and let him truly come up with the run game plan, if that's what is happening, you know, behind closed doors.
Can you talk to us about the moment, Pat Manley, when a team scores a touchdown?
Oh, man.
And the special teams coach is ready to run the kicking team out there to go for one unless otherwise advised. Like, how is that supposed to go down when you're on this? Because a big part of that problem that we saw is that Richard Hightower just sent the kicking team on there, as is his want, and then the decision comes and you got a lot to switch. How is it supposed to work?
Just tell you how bad it was. I had a few coaches call me and say, what happened? Like, you can't let that happen. So I'll put it in my eyes of me, like, on the sideline when I was in that situation, say with Brad Maynard, Adam Pylos, Robbie Gold, whoever was there. You know the situation as a player. You know as the kicking team that it's 14-9. If we score, you make it 14-9 as a kicking team, we're going for two. So you're talking to the assistant special teams coach who should be on the headset with the special teams coach who's standing next to the head coach saying, are we going for two, right? We're going for two, right? So just within the special teams unit, you already know that. So the special teams coach should have clicked over while they're going down the field and say, hey, I don't need to send my guys out, right? We're going for two. That obviously didn't happen because the kicker and everybody started running out there. So that's one part of the problem. The other one, obviously, is upstairs. The guy, whoever's in charge of, you know, all the analytics and all that stuff should be telling Eberflus while you go down, hey, when you score, these are the options here. This is what you need to do. The other one is the offensive coordinator, knowing the situation of the game. He should be talking to Eberflus saying, hey, when we score, what do you want to do? This situation you normally go for two. So that's like three or four people that have not communicated with the head coach. To me, I said the word the other day on the radio, it's egregious. Like that is embarrassing. That is football 101, especially at this level, that should never happen. And I'm just surprised it did. And I think you saw Eberflus' face, and it had to come through his headset when he put his hands up for, you know, going for two, that somebody's like, hey, you're supposed to go for two here. That is way too late, and that's just a complete miscommunication amongst everybody from player to coaches to analytics guy to whoever.
I hated that. I also hated what happened at the two-minute warning. It just seemed like they didn't understand how, and I'm concerned that Cairo is not capable of, when you need it, kicking the ball out of the back of the end zone, because that's what should have happened.
They got lucky.
They did, because the Colts didn't play it correctly. How did you see it?
Yeah, I mean, does he have the leg strength to get it out of there? I'm sure he does, but he's going to have to just – it should have been communicated. He can knuckle it out of there, right? He can line drive it out of there and make sure he gets it out of there. So that's another mistake on the coach's part. And that's something, again, if they're paying somebody to be this analytics guy, he should be – that's his job. He should be telling the coaches that as well, but that is also the special teams coach's job. As Spiegs, I've talked to you before that when I came through the league, kind of the special teams coach became the situational coach.
Yep.
And now they have a guy upstairs taking care of it. But I still think it's on the special teams coach to know all those situations, especially when it involves your units, whether you're going for one or two, or you should be kicking it out of the back of the end zone.
Yeah, it is. But all of this ends up being on the head coach.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yes.
He has to be the guy who communicates so well that he knows how to teach other people how to communicate. Like that knows how to set up like the flow chart. This is how we do it here and keep it simple, and you will know. And he's got 13 plays and 70 yards and 7 minutes to make sure that everything is functioning the way it should on that level. That is on Matt 100%.
No, there's no doubt. That's who it falls on, but some other people below him should be able to help him. But he's the head coach. He signed up for it. But the other thing a lot of staffs do in the offseason, because they got a lot of free time, right? Players aren't on the field a lot. They're in the weight room. There's only a limited number of hours they can be there. They go through situations. They sit around the table and they talk through all these situations, plan for them all, talk them out, write them out. And maybe these are some they missed or they forgot. But these are things that should be taken care of in February, March, April, May, June. That's the way I've seen it.
There's literally a card. And it's simple math. So,
and common sense.
Down five is simple math.
Yes.
On what you should do in that situation. Yes. Patrick, before we let you go, what do you think of the Rams?
They scare me now. I've watched a little bit of it, and the reason why is they have a much better coach and they have a much better quarterback.
Yeah.
You saw what they did to the 49ers, how they came back. 49ers went for the 55-yard field goal, missed it. Ended up special teams helped a little bit too. They've got a decent unit this year. I think just with that quarterback and that head coach, they're always going to be in it. I think Sean McVay's only had one losing season in all his years here. Former Marist grad, by the way, Matt Spiegel.
Oh,
I did not
go to Marist, but thank you. Sean McVay did.
Sean McVay. But they scare me just because of those two. And as I'm going through tape, he calls players, not plays, man. He is darn good at what he does.
Very much so. And so are you, Patrick. We appreciate you jumping on with us. Thank you, as always, and Roll Tide.
Roll Tide, y'all.
Thanks, buddy. Have a good midday.
See you, man. All right, guys.
That is Patrick Manley. I love the passion and the knowledge of Patrick Manley in that situation.
He's dealt with those people in those rooms who have to sublimate their ego and make sure the best idea wins, and it just doesn't always happen that way. And that breakdown of the special team stuff and how that failure happens, the fact that coaches around the league are talking to Pat, he does his homework and makes sure to stay connected. Yeah, that's very good stuff and scary. All right, so what time are we leaving? Because we're going to the game, right? We're going to the White Sox game, show outing, as it came up yesterday.
Imagine if we actually went. What would we do? Like, us getting out early like this, we go down there early and hang out?
No, you'd come,
be there all night?
I'll come over to my house, I'd give you a beverage and a snack, and then we'd king bleep. We'd get on some bikes and king bleep our way down to the ballpark.
Imagine like the snacks. Four of us riding divvies to the ballpark from your house. Just a bunch of dudes riding bikes.
We'd look great, man.
Yeah, man. Like I said, I have to move. So
that's a wrap.
I'm going to help you move instead of going to the White Sox game.
Yes. I'll pay you in beer and pizza.
I'm fine with that.
By the way, let's make sure to get to that ESPN story from Buster Olney and Jesse Rogers about the White Sox.
Yeah,
tomorrow.
Man.
There's like every week there's at least one, maybe two news stories that have revelations about how dysfunctional it's been.
It's so crazy because Jeff Passan, like, he was like, let me go over here and try really hard to squint and see some cool stuff.
Uh-huh.
And now it's like, now let's go in here and let's let you know what all the problems have been.
And they all thought that they could leave as the White Sox trailed last night. But now they got to stay an extra day. They're all going to be there tonight, too. More think pieces coming tomorrow.
You can't leave. That's the problem.
A frustration machine.
We can, though. Yeah, we can. That's why the four of us decided that we were, and we weren't going to spend our night.
Did you feel the support from the crowd, ninth inning, on their feet, still showing up here, last homestand of the season?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't know if I've ever won a game and had people pretty mad, but...
That's a weird one. By the way, baseball coverage on The Score is presented by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on the iPhone 16 Pro.
Our first full show will be tomorrow, 2 to 6, 4 hours of it. Thanks for your support so far. For Spiegel, I'm Holmes. We'll see you tomorrow at 2.
All right, guys. Have a great life.
Have a good show.
Try.
What?